So I want to pick up from last week's message, but I want to talk about just I'm trying to, I guess I'm giving up the title when I give up the title. It is part of last week's message, but what I want to say is we went over it last week and we're going to go over it again. But if we go to Luke chapter 6, and I want you to, I was going to jump right in verse 27. And it's very interesting. I'm going to read it from two different directions. But he says, starting at verse 20, Luke chapter 6, verse 27 starts by saying this: "But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you." Wow. "Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you." And I said, for many years to that scripture, I've said, no. I'll say blessing to them, but I'm not going to. I'll say the word, but I'm not going to bless them with my heart. And I was thinking about it recently. Bless those who curse you. And I was like, well, but why? He said, well, first of all, those who judge will be judged according to the judgment that they issue. So they're going to reap what they sow. I'm asking you to give me the realm and the earth to show compassion to them. Listen, what I just said, this is interesting, but this is again, I'll walk you through what I'm walking through. He said, in order for me to show compassion to them for what they're sowing, if my people, you have a role in what God does and does not do on the earth, then he said, he'll bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. Then he also say, whoever sins you retain will be retained, and whoever sins you forgive will be forgiven. You don't realize the power you have. And so he's saying the judgment that will come to them won't be seized, because the judgment or the harm that comes from is not from God, it's from the devil. And I can't even interact to help them come to repentance unless I have man and woman of God who will pray on their behalf. Did I lose anybody? No, you caught that, right? If I don't forgive them and they put themselves in the place of judgment, there's no buffer between them and the enemy. So he's asking us, will you be so kind and do me a favor? Even though they've been a jerk to you, will you pray for them, because their reward for what they've done to you will be huge. I need you to pray for them. Now, and of course, if we don't, he can raise somebody else up, but wouldn't you want to reap the reward of that obedience? Now, he took me to a different place, because he said to me, I want you to bless those who curse you. And I want you to pray for those who've been despitefully using you. And I said, well, God, I have, I've said yes to praying for mercy for them and this kind of stuff. But in my heart of hearts, when I'm not in the God high mode, I don't want them to be blessed. I want them to reap the judgment, whatever that looks like. And I know in my heart of heart, I know I don't really want that, because I know what it looks like. But still, and here's where the revelation came home. And I'm going to go back to the verse in a minute, but here's where the revelation came home. I can come at you and say, yeah, but wouldn't you want God to judge, forgive you? It says when you come to the altar, forgive, you want to be blessed. And it becomes this selfish thing about, okay, well, I'm going to pray for them because I don't want stuff to happen to me. I want God to have, since God showed me mercy and Jesus did die on the cross for me when I was in sin. And, we come up with these truthful but logical explanations that don't stick. Does that make sense? What you're saying when you're reasoning with yourself lasts only as long as you're reasoning with yourself. As soon as you go back to what you're feeling and what you're really sensing in yourself, all those old feelings come flooding right back in. So what's the balance? God said to me, to my heart yesterday, he said, you got to have that compassion first for yourself before you can give it to somebody else. The worst thing you can do as a believer is try to love somebody when you don't have the self-love that needs to be there. The first thing you need to have is the understanding of my love for you before you can try to get go to the parts of somebody. You cannot feed somebody from an empty vessel. So he said, the problem is you're trying to forgive and love somebody when you're not even forgiving yourself, or you don't even have peace towards yourself, or you haven't even come to the place that you know that my love for you is limitless. So you can't give away a love that you have not yet received. The problem is you're trying to feel something instead of be something. You're trying to act away instead of becoming away. You're trying to put on a show in a Christian costume and play Jesus when you have not yet received all that Jesus has for you. Amen. See you next time. No, so I started sitting there just yesterday going, okay, and I know that I don't have that to give. I know that I'm behaving right as a Christian and saying and doing the right Christian thing, but I know my heart doesn't even believe that I have that from you. Because the moment that I feel like I do something wrong or I miss the mark, I beat the living crap out of myself. So, of course, if I feel somebody does something wrong to me, then the position is, we'll beat the living crap out of them. And I said, well, Lord, I know you love me. How many say, you know, God loves you? Amen. You know, he forgives you. You know, he cares about you. But do you know the depth of his love for you that you have enough or you overflow with enough that it's spilling out of you is something that you don't have to try to make yourself do through reasoning and intellectual conversation with yourself? And this is the place that I came to. Bless those who curse you. Well, if someone curses me and I don't know I am blessed that way, then I'm affected by the things that they say. And curse means, you know what it means. Well, if you don't, let me explain. From the biblical perspective, from the book, from the Hebrew language, the word blessed doesn't mean to give somebody something. It doesn't mean to oh, they said something bad about me, let me go give them a gift. No. To bless in the original saying, and the reason of Hebrew is to say something good about. I don't know if you knew that. But the word blessed means to speak well of or to say something good about. Well, how does that equate to what we call blessings in our lives? It really does. Because if God says you are successful, you are wealthy, and he speaks it, it is so because the word he speaks is. So when he says you are blessed and highly favored, I know Kwame and his kids say it all the time. How are you doing? Blessed and highly favored. Okay. Do you believe that? Do you understand that? Do you understand the root of where that comes from? Because blessed means God is speaking well of you. And if God is speaking it, then if God speaks it, it's so. So I'm not blessed because of what I have. I'm blessed because of the blesser speaking it. You're saved because he said you are. You're healed because he said you are. You're prosperous because he said you are. Not because you say it, but because he said it. The giver of the gift has to say it. In other words, I can have money to give you, and you can say I'm going to give it to you all you want, but until I say it, you get nothing. You follow what I'm saying? I'm the giver. It has to come from me. Once I speak it, and it's so, and you bear witness with me as a truth teller. I had a situation here where I had to have the ceiling fixed. We had a flood and the roof got fixed and all that, and insurance paid. Thank you, Lindsay. And I was gonna pay out of pocket. And she said, you got insurance. I was like, oh yeah, right. So called insurance people and they would cut me a check. Fix the roof, now I had to fix the ceiling. So the gentleman came and he looked at it. A couple of people came and they gave me ridiculous prices. The gentleman came and he looked at it and he said, $150. And I said, to fix that? He said, yeah. I said, nah, bro. There's no way I'm giving you $150 for that. I'm giving you $300. And he went, really? I said, you're undercharging. And there's no way I'm going to let you. I'm a contractor. I know that that's worth more than that. So I doubled his pay. That is not because I'm a good Christian. I'm a fair, honest man. And I know that what he was charging, that he was undercutting himself. And there's no way I was going to take advantage of that man like that. I had somebody just look at the same job and tell me $2,000. And I know good and well it wasn't worth $2,000 either. So $150. You got to be kidding me, dude. That's not even a day. You charging yourself minimum wage for the most part. I'm telling you this story for a reason. He came, he got started, he got some of the work done. He had to leave for the day. He said, can I get half the money? Of course you could. Well, half the money was everything he asked for. I need you to understand this. Gave him half the money. Couldn't come back yesterday. Day before yesterday, he came back yesterday. He was fixing it. Of course, me being me, he didn't have his helper the second day because he couldn't afford it. So guess who wound up being his helper for free? I got in there and got dirty and messy and everything. Was up there helping him fix and paint and sand and just working side by side with the guy. And then he said, hey, let's paint it while we're at it. So we went and painted. Long story short, he packed up his stuff and he left. I said, okay, I'm gonna send you the balance. Whole day went by, think about it. Day ended, think about it. Slipped my mind. He was so confident based on just his interaction with me that he was getting it, that he didn't even worry about it, even though he barely knew me. He'd only met me or seen me twice. Come on, I'm going somewhere. But he accepted or received or made an estimation on my character based on our interaction. He decided that this guy is a blesser. He decided he's a man of his word. I mean, the fact that I said, I'm gonna give you double what you asked for said a lot. He said, okay, this guy's a giver. And then there was a couple of tools I had, and he said, oh, that's nice. I never saw that before. Here, you can have it. Really? Yeah, take it. Sure, I don't use it. Wow, so he's already gotten an estimation. Stay with me, stay with me. He got an estimation from just being around me twice of the type of personality and person I am. This guy's a giver, this guy's a helper. He got in and carried the stuff with me and helped me put it out. He when he messed up something, he couldn't figure out how to do it. I helped him figure out how to fix it. I got to know, okay, I got underneath. Take a piece of wood. We're gonna take a Rotozip, and oh man, I don't have that. I left mine. I got mine. If I had this too, oh, I got that. And everything he kept saying, oh man, I wish I had bought this. What size? The medium or large one? You got it? Of course I got it. And I'm going downstairs. I'm going up and down the stairs, up and down the stairs, bringing them the tools. Stay with me. Stay with me. Stay with me. I'm seeing God, who has all the tools. He has everything I need. There's nothing that I asked for. He's blown away. You got that? Yeah, I got that. Well, yeah, I got two of them. You want one? He's sitting there like you can see his mind is blown, right? At the goodness of a man. His mind is blown at the generosity of a person he just met. But he was able within those two meetings to assess my character so that when he left without his money, he didn't even concern himself because he knew that he who promised was faithful. If this wasn't a Zoom and you can shout right now, you should probably be jumping up and running around the room and screaming right about now, right? And I sat there and said, God, that was so natural for me. And God said, it's even more natural for me. And I got stuff that you don't have. And I can give stuff that you can't give. So when I tell you to bless those who curse you, it's because you don't know how he would have spoken about you because you didn't know him. But you know how he speaks about you now because you blessed him. I kept telling him, man, you do clean work. Man, you do stuff. Like I would reach for, like he was doing something up on the ladder, and I looked and I reached down and grabbed the tool. And he was just getting ready to turn around and ask for it, and I was picking it up. He said, man, we think alike. I said, your flow, man, I love, man, he will be working with me on all my projects. But my point is, he saw. Yo, you want a water? Oh man, I was just getting ready to ask you for one. I'm not God, but I'm blessing this person by speaking well of him. And then coming with the provision to back up what I believe and see about him. Edwards is getting filled up right now. Your tank is up to overflow. Go on, sister. And so I said, God, I understand now. You have to have it in you to give it. Trying to bless those who curse you when you don't believe you blessed yourself. And it's not flowing out of you naturally to bless, that you're trying to force yourself to bless somebody that doesn't work and is not sustainable. So before you start trying to bless those who curse you, I'm going to ask you to put the car in reverse and back up into the garage and make sure you got your car full of blessing first. Make sure that you know that you are blessed first. Make sure that the overflow of the blessing giving giver is in your life and within you, that it is not a struggle for you to bless those who curse you because you got enough left over to give somebody else. Trying to force yourself to bless somebody when you don't believe you bless is heresy. It's phony. It's fake. You can't keep it up. It will not last. It only lasts when you know that the king of blessing is speaking that to you, that you can't feel any other way but to respond that way to people. Stop trying to be a Christian. Stop trying to be a good person. Stop trying to say the right things. Sit with God long enough to hear him say enough right about you, that you know who you are, that it flows out of you just to say it because you can't see life any other way. You are the blessed of God. You are the anointed of God. You are the kept of God. God does look at you and smile on you. God speaks well of me all the time. So I can sit there in the presence of people and let them say all the crap that I've been hearing from my son and stuff and just say, well, you did this and you did this and you did that. And I can sit there and go, yeah, I can see how you could look at it that way. And my heart goes to you, and I apologize. I get it. Now, because you can't give that when you don't have that. I can sit back and go, I can see how you can see that like that. That's not where I am, and that's not where I was, at least not in my mind. But hey, maybe I was back then. Because I'm different now, I don't know that maybe I was some kind of a-hole over there that, you follow what I'm saying? We judge everybody else by the actions. We judge ourselves by our intentions. I don't know what I was then. I know what I am today, and I know I'm blessed, so I can bless you when you curse me because I'm so blessed. Because the Father in heaven speaks life and wellness over me. So I'll end it here once again. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who despitefully use you. You can't bless somebody unless you have blessings to give. You can't pray for people unless you feel that you are covered and filled up with prayer or pray for that you have enough to deposit. You can't loan somebody a dollar if you only have a quarter. But when you overflow, I could say to him, that's not fair. $150, that's not fair. I'm gonna give you three. That was 2 days of work. $150. I'm gonna give you three. And I'm gonna pay for the materials. And I'm gonna give you some gifts and tools that I got that you were impressed by because you were impressed by. And if I, being of evil nature, can do good things for a man that ain't even my son or my blood, how much more will your heavenly Father do for you as his children? When I finally told that man that I was a Christian, when I finally told that man that I used to be a pastor, he said, that makes sense. You know, it's like in his mind, it was like, I want to talk to you about your kind of Christianity because I can see God in that. And I didn't do it for him to see God. I didn't do it for him to see me. I did it for him because it's in me, and I've sat with God long enough to get the image and perspective of me that this is who I am, that I am blessed, that it just naturally comes out of me. If I don't give it out, I'll explode. The rocks will cry out. You are full of God. You are the vessels of God. You have so much in you that you probably neglected or not paid attention to. Go back and get your tank filled. Find out who you really are. Find out, just take time to know how much you are loved. When you feel even condemned or convicted or corrected, don't hang your head in shame. Why could you say that, Pastor? Okay, let me take that back. Hang your head in shame if that's what you got. But if ain't no shame in you, you ain't got no place to hang your head in that. Be so filled up with who God says you are that there's no shame to hang your head in. I looked for some shame a couple of times recently because of some of the stuff I was going through, and I was like, oh, I don't have none. And in the eyes of people, oh, see, you're so arrogant. No, I can't respond to what you're saying because it's not in me. Because I've spent enough time with my daddy to know who I am. So the alternative for me is I give what I've received. That which I have, such I give unto you. In the name of Jesus, arise and walk. In Jesus' holy name, amen. I want you to leave it running for a minute because I want to speak over you. Who's blessed by today's word? Who's like, this is the word that I just needed this week? You are warriors. And when we think of warriors, we think of fighting and we think of battles. But there's the warrior at rest. I'm about to release something to your spirit right now. See, sometimes you get to put the shield and the sword down and go home. You're still a warrior when you're not on the field. You're a warrior when you're going home to go to bed. You're a warrior when you get in the tub to take a shower and go get you know, get something to eat and go lay down. You're still a warrior. What am I saying to you? You don't have to be in battle all the time to be a warrior. You walk like a warrior even when you're not at war. You talk like a warrior. Another warrior will literally say, you must be a warrior. Right? It's just the way you act and the way you carry yourself. There's something about you very warrior-like. You're a warrior. That don't mean you're fighting all the time. So I'm asking you right now, take up your sword and shield and go home. Sit it down before God and rest as a warrior. You're still a warrior, but you're a warrior right now, sitting back being replenished. You're a warrior right now being fed. You're a warrior right now. You ready for this? You ready for this? enjoying the spoils of the war. You're so busy fighting that you're not even taking the time to enjoy the things that you've obtained and won in battle. Go sit down. Breathe. Breathe. I got so much to do, so many things to do. I watch my partners do this. And I got to do this and I got to do that. And I'm like, okay, well, you'll do that. I'm not doing that because part of being a warrior is there are days off. Part of being a warrior is times off. And you guys are warriors even when you're not fighting. Say it. I am a warrior even when I am not fighting. Take some warrior rest. Go enjoy the spoils of the last battle at least. Kick your feet up and lay back and get a chance to spend some of the goods that you got last time. Nope, got right back to war. No, God didn't call you to that. So I just want to pray, Father, release over us today reality that we are kingdom children. We are warriors. We are king's kids. We are victorious even when it doesn't seem like it. Father, we can bless those because we're so full of blessing, we have no choice but to bless those who curse us. We can love because your love overflows out of us, not because we're trying to love them, but because you filter us with so much love that only love pours out of us. We can forgive because we accept that we are so forgiving, and we are so forgiving because we are so filled with your forgiveness. You pour out of us. You pour out of our skin. You pour out of our mouth. You call out of our spirit, of the abundance of the house, our heart, our mouth speak. We are filled with goodness. We are truly blessed and highly favored, but show us exactly how blessed we are. Show us how favored we are so that when we show ourselves to people, all we have is blessing and favor to share. A person who's bitter shares bitterness. A person who's favored shares favor. A person who's blessed shares blessing. Father God, let us get a real inner image of who and how blessed we are. That when we go forward, it is just natural instinct for us to be a blessing to those who curse us and to pray for those who despitefully use us. In Jesus' name, amen.